going back there. You guys did good. You guys did good too. I'm proud of you all today. As I get this said, I don't usually ask this, but I am going to ask right now anyway, just for fun. Does anybody have a birthday today? You put your hand down. It's not your birthday. It is? It is. Yeah, it's Evan's 9th birthday today, so happy birthday. She didn't do anything, guys. I'm just kidding. Raise your hand if someone has ever recommended a show to you, like a TV show or a movie, and you watched it because they recommended it, and you get to a point where you say, is this ever going to get better? Anybody ever do that? Yeah. Maybe you just don't watch the show because you don't trust the person. Maybe someone says, hey, you should watch hockey. It's a lot of fun. Or soccer, or something, and you watch, like, 2 hours, and the score is still 0-0. And you ask yourself, is this ever going to get better? Right? Or someone says, hey, you should go to this restaurant or go on this vacation. Or someone tells you to do something, and you do it, and you ask the question, will this ever get better? This is life. Sometimes we go through some pretty serious moments. We go through hard moments. We go through painful moments, stressful moments, and we ask, will it ever get better? That's our question today. Will this ever get better? This series that we're doing, we're asking the hard questions, it's helping us to know or to consider with the resurrection. So Jesus has risen. God is loving. We saw that on the cross. He's powerful. We see that through the resurrection. So this is a big truth. Now, how do we live this way? We start to ask these hard questions. Because knowing what we know, we still have to kind of wonder, how is this helping me through the hard times? Or will this ever get better? And so I want to read a letter from someone who wrote, it's kind of like a guy's journal, and it's a letter to God. Maybe he's just writing out his prayer in a way, and so I'm just going to read it. It's on a piece of paper here. He said this. He said, Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I am overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken me from my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry out for help, Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I have suffered and been close to death. I have borne your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken me from my neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend. This is a man who's experiencing darkness with no hope. He's praying, but no response. He's in a stressful, deep state of depression. You may have caught on, because you may have read this before. This is actually in the Bible. It's Psalm 88. And this man, his name is He-Man. I don't know what his name is. It's something like that. But he's a court musician. And this is kind of a unique psalm. I don't feel like we can do a really big study on this. I tried, and that's the problem. There's no background on this. Some of the psalms are written, and it's like you read a psalm of David, and you know what just happened in his life or what he's going through, so you can kind of hear his prayer for a certain situation, but this one doesn't have that. He's going through something, but we don't get to know what it is. And I think that's good. I like that. We don't know why he feels so hopeless, but I'm glad we don't know, because sometimes these are our feelings in our situations that might be completely different than his. we can almost feel his pain, and we might be able to learn how to live through pain, how to live in pain because of this psalm. I made a few notes or observations from this psalm, just a couple of things that I think we can learn from this. First is you can worship God and still feel this way. It's okay to feel this way. We might, no, I have a lack of faith if I feel this way. No, it's okay to feel this way. This guy said a few things that maybe we've said or felt in our pain. He had a strong prayer life. We know that from here. He cries out, he said, day and night, nonstop, he's praying. But he felt like he got no answer. He said, I am overwhelmed with troubles and my life draws near to death. Does that sound familiar? Just a few weeks ago, we read something that almost sounds exactly like that. Matthew 26, as we were going through our series up to Easter, then Jesus said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He was quoting this. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Jesus himself, while in the garden, said this before he was arrested. It tells us that we can be real with God. You don't have to hold back. You know, sometimes maybe if I'm hurting, I might want to say, I pray, and I do this. I'll say, God, I don't really like this, and I know that you love me, and I trust you in this, but I'm kind of holding back. What I really want to say is, God, this is terrible. Why? You know, we hold back sometimes because we don't want God to be upset with us, so we just try to, you know, soften it a little bit. No, not here. He's throwing it all out there. I mean, he's blaming God. The only emotion the only thing he says towards God is blame and anger. And he finishes with the idea that it's been like this for a long time. He believed that God was doing this to him. And then he says, the last part, and darkness is my closest friend. What an ending. Most of the Psalms and many places in Scripture, we read about hard times. We talk about them all the time. They're all throughout the Bible because this is life. And so in many places, though, there's the challenge, and then all of a sudden you get to the positive note or where the hope is. Not this one. Not Psalm 88. Psalm 88 has no end in sight. He's right in the middle of his pain. He's in the middle of the storm, and there's no way out according to him. He is stuck there forever, and he's lonely, and he's depressed. This is a tough state to be in. I don't think we can find comfort in this psalm, but I love that it's here. Because sometimes when we're in this, we want to cry out to God and ask why, and we don't get an answer. We get to know how he felt, some of his feelings, some things that he experienced in whatever led to this. He experienced some things like from verses 8 and 18, personal betrayal. Someone betrayed him. I don't know if it was a spouse, a friend, a coworker, family. We get that. From verse 15, we know he experienced chronic suffering. Most pain in life, it seems like, well, there's an ending to it, or there's a possibility for healing. I'm gonna have some hope in this. Sometimes feels like there's no ending. We know from verse 6 that he experienced a dark, hopeless depression. I read this account of an explorer named Ernest Shackleton, who was part of a mission across South Pole, the South Pole that they had got lost for nearly a year. And sub-zero temperatures, hardly any food, but he said, no, the worst of all was darkness. At the South Pole, the sun goes down in mid-May and doesn't come back until August. He said, darkness just covers you and there's no way out. The writer of this psalm seems to feel this way. There's no escape. Like when someone gets buried in an avalanche. I also read about this. A lot of snow on an 85-degree weather day, hopefully. But when you get stuck in an avalanche, you don't know which way to dig. You don't know which way is up. There's no way out. Now, I did find a tip on that. If you ever get stuck in an avalanche, this is going to be a little weird, but spit. When you spit, if it comes back to your face, then you know that gravity is that way, and so dig that way, go the opposite. Just a survival tip I feel like I had to share. Anyway, kind of gross. When we pray in the dark moments, sometimes we don't know which way to go. Maybe things feel too far gone. We believe that God can't redeem a situation. That's how the writer felt. I don't know what it is, but we've all experienced things like this. Maybe it was divorce. Maybe it was death. Maybe it was permanent bodily damage. Maybe it was a ruined career. Whatever it is, it's a feeling of being lost. And there's a feeling of loneliness in a pit, but there may have been people around him. See, we know that he feels like he's alone in a pit, but he could have been surrounded by people. Sometimes everyone wants to be there for you and they help you, but they can't understand your pain, so you still feel lonely. He felt far from everyone, including God. The only feeling he seems to have is that blame, and he's already answered the question, will life ever get better, is the question. And to him, the answer was no. No, it won't. This is it. The best is gone. This is it. And in that moment, in our moments, we have to consider that the only way, sometimes we do this, we consider that the only way for it to get better is our way and not God's way. We give up trust. This is the worst thing you can do. But sometimes the pain becomes more real than God. Sometimes the pain is louder, it's more intense than God, and so we just don't look at God. I think this guy was right on the verge. And so what do we do? Now, I'm not going to leave you hanging with this one. A lot of questions in this. This is a pretty intense psalm. He does leave us hanging. He just stops. Darkness is my close friend and it's done. Kind of stinks. There are a lot of things, but we're going to just look at three things that we can do when we're in that moment. Whether you were there, you're in there now, or you will be there someday, what do we do? How do we get through it? The first thing we do is we keep praying. See, remember when Jesus was praying in the garden? I just shared that passage a little bit ago, and he was praying. He said, my soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. He felt a really deep sorrow. And so what did he do? He went and prayed, and then he went back to his disciples, and then he went back and he prayed a second time. And then he went back, and then he went and prayed a third time. And had he not been arrested, I think maybe he would have gone back and prayed a fourth time and a fifth time. He didn't stop praying. He kept that relationship with the Father in a really hard time. That's the first thing that we do. Follow that example. Did he get a different answer because he went back three times? No. The cup wasn't taken from him. He still went to the cross. But he still kept praying and he still kept trusting. He kept hope. You can be honest in your prayer. Just like Psalm 88, just like Jesus did. He quoted this one to help us to name our pain. I heard someone say that before. Name your pain. Don't just be vague about it. Tell God what you're upset about. Tell God what hurts. That's why this psalm's in the Bible, so that we can come to God and know that he's okay for us to name our pain. I believe it's the only psalm that there's no way out. It's the only psalm that's completely dark. And it's helpful because sometimes you don't want someone to say, oh, there's a silver lining in this, or it'll all work out, or it'll be okay. Sometimes we just want to cry out. We just want to we want to go somewhere and say, this hurts, and they say, hey, I'm here for you. I think that's what this psalm does. It doesn't try to fix things. It just tries to show compassion. This psalm, where it is in the Bible, it's intended just for that, to say our God knows. And for this reason, for the reason he knows, we can pray in our pain. But you know something else it does? It tells us, it shows the transparency of God. I don't know if I've used that word for God before, but if he can be so honest in the darkness, that means we can trust him in the light. If the whole Bible was just all light and joy and happiness and everything was perfect all the time, we would say, no, that's a lie, close that. That's not real life, that doesn't help me. But instead, it has this darkness in there, and it's like, okay, if God can be honest with us about the pain being really bad, and if Jesus even quotes this, then it helps us to understand that whenever he says, hey, there is light, there is answers, I have an answer for you, there is a reason for hope, we can trust him then too. Why should we trust it? It is one of the psalms in here, but it's not the only psalm. And it's not the final psalm. And so we pray. Second, we wait. This one's tough. How many times have you been in a tough situation and you just want to do something to fix it, and you know that you probably shouldn't do, and it's not God's ways, and you didn't pray about it, or you didn't get an answer, and so what do? You just act, and then you regret it, and you think, I wish I wouldn't have acted so quickly. I wish I would have just waited a little longer. David wrote a psalm about that. I told you David wrote a lot of psalms when he was going through things. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on rock and gave me a firm place to stand. It doesn't mean we do nothing. It means that we pray and follow. It means if you don't hear an answer, don't make one up. I think we're all good at that. That's pretty easy to do. So we pray and we wait. And the last one, I wanted to save this one for the last because I think this is probably the most helpful out of all the Bible. It's Hebrews 11. And I say this because so many people in the Old Testament, they went through hard times. They experienced a lot. And so what did they do? We get to see examples of how they lived through the darkness, asking the question, would life get better? So I want to read it. It's Hebrews 11, just a couple verses here to start. It says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." Now, I'm not going to read all of it, but it goes through a list of all these people who were living for God and going through hard times, and how did they live for him? And then it gets to verse 13. It says, "All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." Will life ever get better? I don't know. I have to say that. We all know that. I don't know if it will or not. Okay, so but how do I say that and then not leave you hanging? How do we live knowing that it may or may not get better here on earth? We live the same way that we do when things are going well. If we can learn to do that, like Paul says, "I'm content. I've learned to be content in all situations." If we can live the same way, on the same mission, with the same purpose, with the same hope and same faith, if we can live that way when things are going poorly, just like we do when things are going well, and we're following these examples, living by faith, living with confidence in heaven, living with assurance in the promises of God, even when, just like these people here, they did not see the answer. They did not see the way out. They were in Psalm 88. They were in the pit of despair. Maybe they were feeling differently at different times, but they were in those dark moments and they were looking ahead. And that's what we have to do. That's how we live our lives. Does the resurrection of Jesus give us confidence to do that? Yes or no? That's what we have to answer. If the answer is no, then I'm probably not a Christian. Then I don't believe in the hope that God has offered me. Then I don't accept his love and his power. But if the answer is yes, then I live the same way no matter what, no matter how hard it might be. Because in our pain, sometimes we just don't see. And it says here, those who lived by faith were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Long for eternity. Live for eternity. Consider Romans 8:18. "I consider that our present sufferings," this is kind of insensitive when you hear this, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." I mean, sometimes our present sufferings are pretty bad, and it's, he says, actually, that doesn't even compare. It's not even, if we're going to have the conversation about this future glory, we don't even need to talk about the sufferings. That's how good it's going to be. That's how much better it's going to be. Our loving God who created all the good in life has created heaven as well and is inviting us there. And that's what it says here. It says right after in verse 17 of Hebrews 11, "Because they live this way," it says, "therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." This is our hope. This is our future. Every one of us. If you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is our future too. I want to finish with a quote from, I have a Bible called the Jesus Bible, and there's some notes on the side, and it was just a perfect note. I don't usually even look at those, but it just caught my attention. But we're going to go into communion and consider this hope that we have. And here's what he says. It says here, it says, "The silence of God must not be mistaken for the absence of God. Jesus felt abandoned by God at his crucifixion. this abandoned one would cry out in darkness on a wooden cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because of this, nothing in all of creation can separate God's people from his love. Jesus experienced separation from God so that his people would never have to. One day all of us will be lifted out of the pit of life and raised to new life with Jesus. He is our hope. Let's pray. Father, as we consider what we heard in Psalm 88, I know this is life, this is real stuff, this is a man who experienced a hardship of some form. I don't know if it was a single tragedy, I don't know if it was chronic pain, I don't know if it was a lifetime full of hurt, but we know it happens. Sometimes we just need to know if it's going to get better or not. But we don't have to know. We can just trust you. Even in our pain, you have redeemed us. You've taken away the guilt. You've taken away our punishment for our sin. You've given us, in your love, you've sent Jesus. You've given us the Holy Spirit. We can have a relationship with you. Even when we feel like nothing else is going well, the things that truly matter are going just how they're supposed to. And so, God, I pray that we would cling to that, the hope, the relationship, and the love that you've shown us through your Son. We thank you for Jesus. That's his name we pray. Amen.